Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. This week we bring you A Well-Dressed Man by Frederick Raphael. When John Joseph Jenks was charged with murder, he pleaded as an alibi that he was drinking with a well-dressed man about 5 feet 9 inches tall who answered to the name of Phil. A plea that was to lift Phil Mallard from out of his obscurity as a dispenser for a suburban chemist into the limelight as chief witness for the defense at the Old Bailey. It was to do more. It was to bring together shy, lonely Phil Mallard, whose only real contact with his fellow human beings was a chess-playing opponent in Australia whom he had never seen, and self-confessed gangster, tough, brutal John Jenks in a situation that builds up to a horrifying climax. Frederick Raphael lives up to his worldwide reputation as novelist and film scenario writer with the brilliance of his character portrayals and his ability to create a climax that will astonish you despite its seeming inevitability. Listen in a few moments to A Well-Dressed Man, adapted and produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Michael Silver.
Wherever...
Now, Act One of tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation, A Well-Dressed Man.
Here's your prescription already made up, Mrs. Louise.
Oh, thank you. I see you've got a new radio set.
Yes, one of these new kind of transistors. Here.
The solicitors acting for John Joseph Jenks are particularly anxious to contact a man Jenks says he met in a public house in Putney on the evening of the murder. The man was well-dressed, about 5 feet 9 inches tall, and is said to answer to the name of Phil.
Yes, nothing but murders and murder trials. Well, good day to you, Mrs. Louise.
Good day.
Oh, excuse me.
Good morning, Mr. Leyland.
Good morning.
I fear I'm a couple of minutes late. There was a queue outside the football ground. I had some difficulty in getting through. One gets punched a butt.
Well, you don't look as if you've suffered any damage.
Oh, no, not at all. Forgive me asking, Mr. Leyburn, but was there any post by any chance?
Have you been applying for jobs again?
It isn't that. I mean, I shouldn't like you to think
Mr.
that I...
Mr. Mallard, how many times have we been over this ground during the last, 10 years?
It isn't a reflection of...
I know, Mr. Mallard, I know. I quite appreciate your motives. I've often felt much the same myself. One doesn't enjoy being in a backwater.
No, one doesn't.
But quite frankly, wouldn't you do better to reconcile yourself?
Reconcile myself?
No one's going to take up the references of a not very young dispenser working for a not very successful branch of a not very famous firm of suburban chemists. Now, really, are they? Mr. Mallard, wouldn't it be... wiser, I speak now as one who has been your colleague for a period of years, would it not be wiser to accept the situation and not waste your threepences on stamped addressed envelopes which never get used?
You don't think I'm the man they're after?
Frankly, no. I don't think you're the man they're after.
The thing is...
You feel that you're wasting yourself. I know, Mr. Mallard. I had a picture of yourself discovering a cure for some rare disease and receiving the homage of a grateful nation. We all did, Mr. Mallard. Saving someone's life and basking forever in the sunshine of his gratitude. Where... most of us driven to take up our careers with the idea of performing some magnificent service to others, and we stay in them because by the time we discover what drudgery they are, we're too set to move.
There wasn't any post, I take it.
There was not.
Morning, Mr. Lebon.
Huh? Oh, good morning.
Peckhurst, Paris Cosmetic Preparations. How are things?
Well,
I thought I'd just give you a look in. We've got our new skin enhancer, the one we're having the big success with, the one with even spread dispensing actions. You haven't...
Yes. Oh, excuse me, I just... your newspaper caught my eye.
Keep
just...
it. Keep it. Please, no, do have it. I've done with it, please.
Oh, thank you. Just that...
Well-dressed man, that business. Don't believe in him, do you? If your police arrest someone, they've generally got a reason. You don't often get the police making a mistake. Now, two sizes these come in. The 5 and 9 tube and 10 and 3 the handy can with the luxury diffuser. Yeah, well-dressed man. Obvious red-headed.
He might turn up. You never know.
You think so?
Looking for something, Mr. Mallard?
No.
Oh, smell it a mile off. The red heading, I mean. Smell it a mile off.
Well, I'll take 6 and 6. That's 6 big and 6 small.
6 and 6. Very much obliged to you, Mr. Lebon. They always have some sort of red heading, the defense does. Yeah, their job, though, isn't it? He doesn't exist, you can be sure of that. Well-dressed man. Answers to the name of Phil. Could be anyone.
Well,
I must depart. Good morning to you, Miss Laybourne, and many thanks. Hey, next Friday week, if that's the meaning.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can I help you?
Don't you recognize me, Vivian?
Philip! Oh, good gracious me, no, I did not at first. Well, how are you?
I'm all right.
Are you going to come in?
Thank you. I wondered if
well,
I might...
We are expecting people in a little while, but...
I just wanted a word with Basil, if I might. I'm sorry if it's a bad time.
Oh, well, it's always a bad time these days, I'm afraid. Life's one long rush. People, people, and more people. If it isn't American editors, it's local flower shows. You can imagine.
Yes.
Well, I'll go and see if Basil's about here.
Thank you.
That's about it, I think. The usual piece about inquiries for stamped addressed envelopes, Brigade.
Sorry to disturb you, darling. Only Philip's here.
Philip?
Your brother.
Philip? What's he want?
Well, he didn't say. He wants to see you, that's all.
I suppose someone must have died or something. Oh, dear. Oh, well. Olive, call Dennis Thingamabob. Tell him I'd love to lunch on Friday. Oh, and get hold of that man from Vacation Magazine. Tell him I'm on for the Chateau Country. And how many words do he want and when? Oh, and call the Maison Provençal. Tell them I want a table for 8 for tomorrow. And make sure they know who we are. I don't want limp game, chips and empire cough mixture at 22 and ahead, all right?
Yes, Mr. Mallard.
Philip. Yeah. Oh, Philip, my dear old boy, this is a surprise.
I'm sorry, I seem to have come at a bad moment.
Well, you weren't, no. What have you got there?
Oh, only this... It's your scrapbook, I was...
One of our scrapbooks, have you? Silly, really, keeping all that nonsense.
Very impressive.
Well, it's a living. Are you all looking as spruce as ever, Philip? How are things?
Still the same.
Time you found yourself a wife.
I shall never do that, I don't suppose. Not now.
Well, I'm going back upstairs to finish getting ready. Do excuse me, Philip, will you?
Of course. It was nice to see you again.
Oh, I love to see you. Oh, Basil, the caterer, will be here in half an hour, darling. He knows where everything is if you let him in.
I will.
You've done more for her than I ever could have.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yes. She's not like the girl I used to know, not now.
They all change.
You've been very successful.
We've worked hard, you know.
Oh, yes, I know. You always did. Mother always had faith in you, said you'd be someone.
Oh, one has to take one's opportunities. I was lucky, at all. Well, has been a long time, hmm?
Yes. We haven't met since the funeral, Mother's.
Poor Mum. No, we have. Never fault you on a date, eh, Philip?
No.
You're still in Hilton, eh?
I am. This is a nice place.
Nice enough. Terribly cramped, of course. Luckily, we get about a good deal, or we should feel like birds in a gilded cage, all dressed up and nowhere to stretch out.
Yes. I gather you're abroad a good deal.
We have to be. Needs must when the bank manager drives. Well, Philip, is there something? I mean, what can I...
I want your advice.
Problem?
Yes, sir. I have rather...
Well?
Now, I'm in rather a quandary.
Quandary? What kind? Need money?
No. It's just that I rather think I'm the missing Phil.
The missing Phil?
The man they're looking for.
You mean you've done something?
Haven't you seen the paper? It's been all over the paper about this murder.
Murder?
They're looking for a man called Phil.
No one's ever called you Phil, have they?
Yes. And unless I come forward, they'll hang him. Looks as if they'll hang him unless I...
Hang who?
This man, Jenks, they've accused of the Hammer murder. Unless I tell them he was with me.
With you?
Yes. You see how important I may be. How important.
You say you were with him. Where was this?
In the pub in Putney. Sometimes I go out. I go out to pubs. It's allowed.
And you met this chap they...
Want to hang. Yes, I think I did.
Strange company for you, Philip. A man like that. You're positive.
I'm not like you, Basil. I didn't have your advantages. I didn't go to university. I don't have famous friends. I take my company where I can find it.
Why exactly have you come here, Philip?
To get your reaction.
To what exactly?
My problem, of course. What should I do? I must do it, mustn't I? Come forward. I mean, I don't want to, heaven knows, but...
You'll get the most appalling amount of publicity.
Exactly.
Newspapers, interviews, all that sort of thing. I can't see you enjoying the experience. It's enough to unnerve the strongest of us.
But if I'm the only person who can save him, the only person who can help him, surely
I dare say they'll come down on us like a ton of vultures as well. The very fact that I've even got a brother at all will be enough to start the gossip boys sharpening their poison arrows. The police seem pretty sure he did it.
They are. That's why...
They must have their reasons. Well, I'm only thinking of you, Philip. The important thing is not to look foolish. I mean, if you were to come forward and then be proved mistaken, we should all... Well, you'd be made a fool of, that's all, and we should all regret it. Tell me, since when do people call you Phil? I never called you Phil, nor did Mother.
My other friend does. The one I play chess with in Australia.
Well, the one you...
We play chess by correspondence. He calls me Phil. That's what started it.
Well, I don't really feel I've been much help.
The thing is, I might be very important.
Yes, I can see that. Well, perhaps you should go and see somebody connected with the case. Have a word with them.
Yes. Well, thank you, Basil. Sorry if I've disturbed you.
Not at all. Not at all.
The prisoner knew, and you may think was in an excellent position for knowing, that Mr. Hammond was in possession of substantial sums each Friday night when the takings from the garage which he owned and where Jenks had sought employment were put in a safe to be taken to the bank on the Saturday. Jenks, in the view of the prosecution, returned to his place of work, knowing Hammond would be there, and still up behind him, intending to strike him down and take the money. Hammond suspected something, turned and resisted, and was then callously struck repeated and terrible blows on the head, as a result of which he shortly died. Jenks took the money and went on his way. He was not seen again until he was arrested in Belfast. There, he claimed first that his name was O'Shea, and afterwards that though he was Jenks, he knew nothing of the murder and had simply decided to leave the garage. Later still, he said he knew of the murder and said he feared he would be charged with it. Now, we have heard of an alibi. The defense claims, as claim it clearly must to have any hope of success, that Jenks was elsewhere on the night of the murder. Just what this story adds up to, or whether indeed it will be continued with at all, we shall see presently. Meanwhile, I shall, with my lord's permission, call the first witness. Alfred Dean Ullin.
I said they wouldn't find him, didn't I? And for why? Because there isn't such a bloke.
He'll swing all right.
Maybe.
No question. Now, they tell me, how to get on with the two towns? Do well, did they?
Clearing slowly.
They'll come back for more, that I can promise you. A dozen?
Half. Make it half.
Half this week, fair enough. I'll bet you the other half dozen. Jinx is in the condemned cell come Wednesday next.
Fair enough.
Central 0181. I think I can help you. My name's Phil Mallard. That's right, Phil.
Now, will you tell the jury and my lord in your own words what you did that evening?
I got home from work about 6:30. Then after supper, as it was a fine evening, I decided to go out. I walked for a while, and then I caught a bus. Eventually, I found myself by the river, and I walked along from Putney Bridge towards, well, towards Richmond, that direction. I went into a pub after a while because I felt thirsty. It was quite warm. I ordered my drink. It was a shandy, actually, with lemonade. They hadn't any ginger. And I sat down, and there was a small table on the terrace, so I sat there. We were watching some scullers.
We?
The people out there. The river was very calm. One of the scullers had been exerting himself more than most, and he dived into the river. We all laughed, and that's when we began to talk, he and I. I used to scull myself at one time. He said he was keen on sport, too. We had some more to drink, socially, as it were, and we talked. Reminisced, you might say. We went on talking till the pub closed, and then we walked to the bus stop, and I caught my bus.
And you're sure that that was the man with whom you spent the evening?
Positive. Yes.
You've left it pretty late in the day, Mr. Mallard. Well, haven't you left it pretty late in the day?
I suppose so.
You suppose so? Why did you not come forward before?
I was afraid to.
Well, of what were you afraid?
I don't know. Notoriety?
Notoriety?
Being asked a lot of questions?
Ah, well, I'm afraid your fears in that respect were more than justified. I shall indeed be asking you a lot of questions. Now, you say you are absolutely convinced, without the remotest possibility of doubt, that that was the man with whom you spent the evening of the 3rd of August last.
I am.
Had you ever met him before?
Never.
Have you ever met him since?
I have not.
Mr. Mallard, have you seen photographs of the accused in your newspaper at all?
Yes, I have done.
Ah, you have done. On how many occasions?
Couple or so.
You've seen photographs of the accused more often than you've seen the accused himself.
That's true. Only
one thing at a time, Mr. Mallard, if you don't mind. Now, let us go back to this famous evening. What made you go to Putney that evening? You live some distance from that place. Why did you go there?
I was born there. I sometimes go back.
To see people? Relatives?
No, I just go there. I don't know anyone.
A sentimental journey.
If you like.
Now, you say you sat on the terrace. It was quite shady under there, I dare say.
Oh, yes, it was shady.
Yes, and you were looking out at the bright river, the reflection of the setting sun. Quite dazzling, I dare say.
I don't think so.
What did you talk about?
Birds was one thing.
Birds, did you? What sort of birds?
I like to feed them. I put crumbs on my sill. He likes birds, too.
Oh, indeed. And what sort of birds does he like?
He flew pigeons at one time.
Where did you read about that?
Nowhere.
Do you swear you never read that Jinx was a pigeon fancier?
I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised. I may have. Afterwards, since I mean.
Mr. Mallard, how many times have you visited Putney during the last year?
A few.
A few. 3 times? 13 times? 30 times?
5 or 6 times.
Ah, 5 or 6 times. Can you give us the dates?
Dates?
Dates, that's right, dates. The dates on which you made these sentimental journeys.
I don't know. Last year I went once in October, I think it was. Again in November and Christmas time.
I want the dates, the exact dates, Mr. Mallard. What day in October?
Well, I'm not sure if it was October. It might have been the last week in September or the first in November.
Or the second in July, perhaps.
No, I
don't... You don't know, do you, Mr. Mallard?
Well, I can't swear.
You can't swear, quite so. You can't swear. But you have sworn. You have sworn, Mr. Mallard. You've sworn that it was August the 3rd that you visited Putney and saw the accused in the dim light of a public house terrace, and found the experience and the date so unforgettable that you have not the tiniest doubt about them. Yet you can give us no other date, Mr. Mallard? Truthfully, can you stand there and tell us you have no doubt about it having been the 3rd of August? Really?
Oh, yes. You see...
Thank you, Mr. Mallard.
It was my birthday, you see. I don't forget my birthday.
Philip. Paper's full of him. If he goes on this rate, they'll be holding over my column to make room for pictures of him.
Oh, grisly notion.
I had lunch with Dennis about this TV series, and all they could do was talk about Philip.
He'll make us famous yet.
Making such a fool of himself.
And us.
Needless to say, and us. Do you know, one of the people at lunch actually wanted to meet him.
Meet him? What for?
They thought he sounded interesting. Oh. Interesting. Philip!
Basil, do you think he's going to get that man off?
Oh, I don't know. If he's telling the truth, well, after all, why should he make it up? Philip, of all people, why should he?
You may well think that Mr. Mallard is the most important person in this case. No one could occupy a more crucial position than he does. For if you leave his evidence, the whole case for the prosecution must fall to the ground. Jenks, even if he were equipped with the fastest motor car, could not possibly have been with Mr. Mallard and committed the murder. You've heard ample evidence on that score. Many things are possible, but one cannot be in Putney and in Hornsey at the same time. Either Mr. Mallard has wrongly identified the accused, or the accused must be acquitted. You've seen Mr. Mallard, and you must come to your own conclusions. Does he seem the kind of man who would claim notoriety? Is he the kind likely to suffer from hallucination or self-delusion? Is he the victim of a simple mistake? Or again, is he telling the truth? You may well ask yourself what possible motive he'd have in fabricating the story he has told us. Mr. Mallard is the only person who can claim to have seen the accused at the time of the murder. The evidence against Jenks is, you may think, very strong, but it's also very circumstantial. Against it, you must place the evidence of Mr. Mallard. It's as simple, members of the jury, and as difficult as that. I can give no direction to you on this matter. It is you and you alone who must decide. Members of the jury, are you agreed on your verdict?
We are.
Do you find the prisoner guilty or not guilty of the crime with which he is charged?
We find him not guilty.
And is that the verdict of you all?
It is.
I order that the accused, John Joseph Jenks, be discharged forthwith.
Well, Inspector, there it is.
I'll never believe he didn't do it.
No. No, there's nothing we can do now.
No, true.
What about this man, Mallard? What do you make of it?
Cracked. Must have been.
It didn't seem cracked.
Well, let's hope we manage to pin something on Jenks before he goes and does it again.
Well, that's your business, Dwyer.
That's right.
Yes?
Hello, friend. Mr. Jenks,
Mind if I come in?
No. But, yes, do. You'll find the place in a bit of a muddle, I'm afraid.
Well, I must say, I never thought you'd do what you did. I never expected it. Quite a turn-up, really, that was, you coming forward. I'd like two spoonsful of that coffee, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, certainly. I had to. I could never have borne it if they'd found you guilty and if they'd...
Hang me? They would have, too, you bet. Should have seen old Dwyer's face when I come out of court. Should have seen his face, old Dwyer.
What?
The inspector on the case. Livid. Livid.
Oh.
Here
you are.
Yes, sir. Well, I had to come and thank you. I mean, in the circus, it was the least I could do, wasn't it?
Very nice of you.
Very nice of you, come to that.
It's nothing.
Nothing? Save me blooming neck, no fooling. No, I had to express my gratitude to you, didn't I? I mean, saving the life of a complete stranger like that. I mean, that deserves gratitude, that does, doesn't it?
It was a pleasure.
Pleasure, was it? Oh, that's nice. You, live alone then, eh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Very interesting, that is. Very interesting. All alone, do you?
That's right.
Wife dead, then, is she?
No, I never had a wife.
Don't worry, you haven't missed anything. Very interesting, though, that is. Never had a wife. You, not like them?
She married someone else.
Did she? Oh, I see. Never had the urge since then, haven't you?
No. Coffee all right? If you want some more sugar...
Do with a spot, thanks. Oh. Sweet tooth, me. Well, all alone, are you? Nice place you've got. All the amenities, very nice.
It's simple, but...
Simple. You should see some of the places I've kept in. Luxurious this is. No, I never realised you had a place like this. Never intruded, if I'd known.
It's perfectly all right.
No, I mean that night in the pub when we was watching the river and all that. I'd never have intruded myself if I'd known what sort of bloke you were. I had to come and thank you, give you my gratitude, didn't I?
It's very nice of you. I'm glad you came.
Lonely, eh, I dare say. Eh, all by yourself. Never been married. Well. Your birthday, was it?
On the...
The 3rd of August. That's your birthday, is it?
Yeah, 3rd of August.
How old are you then?
45.
Are you really? 45, eh? That's very interesting, that is. Got any biscuits, have you?
Biscuits?
I could do with something to eat, matter of fact.
Oh, I see.
Makes you peckish being tried for murder, it does. Nervous tension, think it must be. Hanging about, you know.
I've got some digestives and some cheese, if you'd like it.
Well, that'll do. Yeah, you should have seen old Dwyer's face. Funny people, coppers are. Never let you off the hook. You know that? Well, I don't suppose you would, respectable bloke like you, but they never let you off the hook.
I've cut the ride off.
Furious. Yeah. It's like old times, this is, eh? You and me, eh?
Yes, sir.
Go round to my digs, the place I used to live. You'll find one of them there.
One of them?
You'll find a copper hanging round the door, waiting, hoping I'll do something else. Very interesting, that is, about coppers. One-track minds.
What will you do now?
Do?
Now the case is over. Where will you go?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't thought. Nice place you've got here.
There's not really too much room.
They don't know me around here. That's the thing. The busies don't know me. I'm not known. I can lead my own life. I can't go back to Ormsey. They'll hand me. Certain to. One-track mind. That's why I thought I'll look that bloke up.
Really?
See if he can help me. No, no, I think it's very luxurious. I mean, you've got all the amenities, haven't you? Fancy you remembering me. That's what gets me. Really recognised my face, did you?
Yes, of course.
Amazing, that is. What's your racket, then? What do you do for a living?
I work in a chemist.
Oh, chemist, you. Very interesting.
Big one? Reasonable one. Not large.
Reasonable size?
That's right.
Yes.
I have to be at work quite early in the morning. I have to get to bed quite early, otherwise I can't do my work.
Incapacitated. Quiet, quiet. Don't mind me. I mean, if you want to kip, don't mind me. Whenever you want to, I mean, just, you know. Hey. Play chess, do you?
If you don't mind.
Or something wrong?
No, don't touch those chess pieces, if you don't mind.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I do apologize. Important, then, that is it?
It's an unfinished game.
Well, why don't you finish it?
My opponent's in Australia.
Ah, why?
Well, he lives there. He sends me his moves, and I send him mine.
Ah, see. Couldn't you find no one nearer, then?
I don't happen to have done so.
Ah.
I suppose...
What?
You're not a chess player.
Nah. I used to play solo, but not anymore. In Australia, is he? Right, Steve?
Yes. We managed to exchange moves once a fortnight.
Do you really? Very interesting, that is. Once a fortnight, do you?
Sometimes less, sometimes
more. Oh, I know. Do you really? You're cracked, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
Cracked. Nutcase, aren't you?
I think perhaps...
Bonked, aren't you?
It'd be better if you...
Playing chess with a bloke in Australia. Popping up out of the blue at the Bailey.
It was nice of you to come round, and now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
I'm not stopping you.
I'd be very glad if... Would you care to come round again? Have some coffee?
I mean, you really deserve to be locked up. You do, don't you? Playing chess with a bloke in Australia. Fantastic, that is. I mean, just imagine if old Muckface had got that out of you. Would I be wrong in thinking that you played chess with a man in Australia? I mean, all he had to do was ask you a question like that, and I'd be playing draughts with a death watch. I mean, straight. You're a pretty rum bloke, you are.
Think so?
Dead rum. Oh, never mind, never mind. This is a nice place, I must say. All the amenities, haven't you? I mean,
you must come again.
Short of company, then, are you?
Lonely. It can be.
Just think of being in the condemned cell, like. I should think that is lonely and all.
Yes.
People around you all the time there, though. Lonely.
I suppose it would be.
I mean, watching you. Horrible, that must be.
Quite.
Nerve-wracking, that must be, I should think. Well, you got me out of that all right then, friend, didn't you? I mean, you looked after me, didn't you? Saw me all right then, didn't you?
Oh, it was nothing.
No, I suppose not. Got your name in the papers?
Yes. Both of us did.
Both of us did. You're right there. You got something there, all right. Famous we are.
It's all over now.
For them it is, but not for us. I mean, we're a famous pair, you and I. I mean, you've got your cuttings, haven't you? Got your scrapbook there, I see. Been pasting some new ones in, I see.
Stupid. I ought to get rid of them. It was stupid of me.
No. I differ there. I don't think so. A man's entitled to his cuttings. It's an old story, that is. I got mine all right.
Oh.
There we are. Got mine in all there. Got more than you, too.
Naturally.
Naturally, as you say. I mean, you didn't come in till late, did you? Sitting on the terrace watching the river, did you?
No.
Oh, that's a nice scrapbook, that is. How much that set you back then?
16 and 6.
16 and 6, did it really? Get me one, can you?
Well, you can get one.
Why, I'd like to show me face.
They're on sale in the stationers.
It's the busies I'm worried about. As soon as they know where I am, I shan't be able to call me life me own. Like being under the death watch it'd be, promise you. One track minds.
Next time you come, I'll have one for you.
You see? They never give you a second chance, the busies don't. Get their tabs on you, you might as well take a running jump in the Grand Union Canal, I mean. I can't show me face, that's the truth. You know what I mean, don't you, Fred?
Well, yes.
No, I mean, this is a lovely place, this is. You. Nice place you got here, I mean. If I can lie low here for a bit, all the amenities, haven't you? Well, I can get a second chance, like.
Lie low?
Look, you got me into this.
I?
You get me off, didn't you? Don't deny that, do you? If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be on the loose, would I?
But you can go anywhere.
You were acquitted. You can go anywhere.
You should have seen Dwyer then. Livid. Furious he was. I got to be somewhere out of harm's way. I mean, you got me into this, didn't you? Meeting me in the pub, like you said. I mean, it's your fault I'm here. It's not anyone else's fault, is it?
You're welcome to stay tonight if you want to.
I've got no choice. No alternative, friend. I mean, that's straight. I'll be perfectly straight with you over this.
If you don't mind the sofa.
Oh, not tonight, no, no. That'd do very nicely. I'm surprised you don't have a spare bed, though, for visitors. People who come to stay. I'm prepared, ain't you?
I don't know people.
No?
You can have a rug and a pillow, if you like. Make yourself comfortable on the sofa. Yeah. All right?
That looks very cosy. Very homey, that does.
I'm afraid it's rather makeshift.
Makeshift? Educated, are you, aren't you? Educated bloke.
I went to school. I didn't go to university. My brother...
Educated bloke, thought you were.
There we are. I go to work about 8:15. I have to catch my bus.
Right, oh, right, you are 8:15.
I have to be out of here.
I'm with you.
Well, I'll leave you.
Okay, Phil. Good night, Phil.
You are now listening to Drive, the hungry detergent. Only Drive, the new kind of washing powder, has Ensolve, the professional stain remover. That's why Drive, with Ensolve, eats stains like baby food, tomato sauce, egg, chocolate. Yet it's so gentle with fabric, so kind to colors. Just soak overnight in new Drive and stains vanish. Then wash in new Drive for astounding results. New Drive eats stains. Gets your whole wash so clean, it's spotless.
Now available throughout the Transvaal.
It's here, new Dual.
Yes, Dual is the new floor cleaner that really deserves to be called revolutionary. Because Dual actually cleans and polishes your floors all in one go.
Dual is an entirely new floor cleaner that has its own built-in floor polish as well. Dual saves you hours of work.
With Dual, you get all your washable floors spotlessly clean. And you get a magnificent, hard, non-slip, dirt-resisting shine. All in one go.
And the more you clean with Dual, the more brilliantly your floors shine.
Get new Dual right away. It's the revolutionary new floor cleaner that cleans and polishes all in one go.
Remember, it's Dual. D-U-A-L. Dual.
Basil Mallard.
Oh, Mr. Mallard, sorry to disturb you. My news editor asked me to get hold of you. I hope it's not a bad moment.
Oh, not at all. What can I do for you?
Well, we were just wondering if you were having a celebration at all this evening.
Celebration?
That is the Mr. Mallard, isn't it, speaking?
I hope so.
Mr. Mallard, who gave evidence in the trial?
No, that's my brother.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. I asked them to get me... They must have got me the wrong one. Would you have your brother's number at all?
No, I'm afraid not.
Jenks?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jenks! Mm-hmm. It's breakfast, Mr. Jenks!
Mm-hmm. What is it? Oh, how is you? Never jog me, Phil. That's a jog. I don't like to be jogged.
Breakfast is ready.
Breakfast, is it? Oh, you woke me up. I was dreaming. You woke me up.
We've got to be out of here in a quarter of an hour.
We have to be out of here? I can't go out on the street half past 8 in the morning. Well, what would I do at 8:30 in the morning out on the street?
But aren't you going to look for work?
They think they wouldn't get on my tail, the coppers. Think they wouldn't? Oh, I wouldn't have a chance. Nah, best thing I can do is lay up for a week or two.
Well, you could go and look for something suitable somewhere.
Hopeless, hopeless. I told you, friend, I'd go out of that door and down into the street. And where am I?
Hilston High Street, north side.
I'm in trouble right away. I told you, I don't know how many times. They'll hound me.
Look, give us a break.
What do you want to do?
Stop here a day or two. Pals, aren't we, Phil? You and me. I'm your best friend, I am, remember? The sun on the water and all that, remember? We're pals. You don't want to let a pal down, do you?
No, but...
Of course you don't. Not made like that, are you? What am I, Phil?
I don't...
What am I? Who am I? John Joseph Jenks. And I'm an innocent man, aren't I?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Now, you got me into this, and I came round here to express my gratitude, right?
Yes, I'm very grateful.
Then show how grateful you are, friend, and help me out for a day or two, okay?
I must go to work. I shall be late.
You never want to be late. You want to be punctual. That's good, that is, punctuality is. That's a virtue. You run along.
Now, please, don't...
What?
Don't touch this. Move anything. Any of the chessmen.
Righto, if you say so, right you are. By the way, might bring some smokes when you get back tonight. I'm right ahead. Haven't got any, have you?
No, I don't smoke.
Sensible bloke. Don't forget, will you? And the scrapbook, friend. Cheers.
Inspector Dwyer here, Doyle. Any sign of Master Jenks? I see. Has he indeed? In my experience, people don't vanish, Doyle. I want tabs on him. Now, let me know as soon as you hear anything. He must be somewhere. He can't have vanished into thin air.
Don't...
Oh, sorry.
Bang too hard, will you?
Oh, don't worry. I can handle an hammer. I was just putting a couple of nails in this picture. You and me coming out of the Bailey. Good, isn't it? I thought we should put it up. Memento. Got the book, have you? The scrapbook?
I managed to get this.
Ah. Flimsy, isn't it? Flimsy, that is. Unsubstantial.
Well, it was all they had.
All they had. Go on.
The shops were closing. It wasn't proper stationers.
All they had. You want to watch it?
It was a general store. It was on the corner.
On that corner. You want to watch it? You telling the truth, are you?
I couldn't get anything else. I'll have to do.
Have to do? What do you mean?
See if at the baked beans.
That's right. Only one they had. I don't believe you.
Both tins.
Well, I got hungry. I was hungry.
You had no business to eat both of tins.
You're changing the subject. You are, aren't you? You're not telling the truth, are you?
What?
About the scrapbook. You're not, are you?
It's the only one they had.
If you and me are going to be friends, if we're going to stay friends, you're going to have to learn to tell the truth, I mean. I can't stand fibs. You're a liar, aren't you?
If you can't be polite, well, you just have to...
No, I mean, you're what they call a liar. I mean, a real liar, aren't you?
Please don't...
I mean to say, you're a case, aren't you? What they call a case, you are. Bonked, I mean, aren't you? No, straight.
If you've had supper...
I'll tell you something, if you like.
Yes?
I've had an offer.
Offer?
That's right. Bloke I met in a pub made me an offer.
What are you trying to...
I'm not kidding you. He did. What's for supper, then?
You ate both tins of baked beans, both.
Well, it was parky-like, you know.
You'll have to have cornflakes.
That's breakfast food, really, isn't it? Cornflakes.
That's all there is.
All right, then. Only what did we have for breakfast?
Toast.
He did. Made me an offer. Why do you tell lies?
It was the only one they had.
I can't trust you, Phil. That's the truth. I can't trust you. Can't believe a word you say. It's awkward, that is. I mean, I've got no basis of trust. £1,000 straight. £1,000 this bloke offered me.
What for?
My story. After the trial, this was. After you sprung me, like. Then, in a pub afterwards, £1,000.
Why did you refuse?
I didn't. I said I'd think about it. Consider it. Said I would. I've got his number, you know, for when I decide.
What story exactly?
Not every day a bloke gives up £1,000. Sunday paper. Doesn't happen every day. I mean, a chance like that, having my own column, like. Sort of thing you dream about, innit? Having your own column. I saw a picture once. Bloke had his own column.
My brother.
What's that? Oh, what's he done?
My brother has his own column in the newspaper.
Does he really? Oh, it's very interesting, that is. Make a lot of money then, does he? Got a nice house and all that business?
Oh, yes, indeed.
All the amenities plus.
It's very elegant.
That's the word. Luxurious, am I right?
Yes. He's done very well. He's got everything.
travels a lot and everything.
I like to see the house where he lives, your brother. Elegant, I expect. Away a lot. £1,000 I could have made. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Your brother make that much for his articles?
I don't know.
Well known, is he?
Quite.
Well known as Godfrey Wynne?
I don't know. Dare say.
Very interesting, that is. Well known as Godfrey Wynne. Now, I'd like to see the house.
I think they've moved from where they were. I fancy they've moved.
You'll find the address, Phil, eh? I don't know that I believe you about them moving. I don't know if I can trust you. Terrible thing, you know, living with someone you can't trust. 5 years you could get.
Oh, Inspector Dyer. Oh, certainly. Mr. Mallard isn't here at the moment, I'm afraid. He stepped out for something. But I'll tell him you called. Oh, yes, I quite understand. Perfectly all right.
I'm sorry, but you have to leave here.
Don't start.
Maybe the police.
What about the police? What have they been up to?
Have you? I haven't done anything. Only they called at the shop this morning while I worked. They wanted me to call them up. I haven't yet, but...
You're not uttering threats.
Uttering threats?
Threatening me. You're not, are you?
They're suspicious, that's all.
You tell them where I...
I haven't spoken to them at all yet. I was out getting some supplies. I wasn't in.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it? If they didn't talk to you.
Well, from what Mr. Leyburn told me, they were very suspicious. There's been a break-in and they're suspicious.
Break-in?
At the tobacconist's store bashed in.
Oh, yeah.
2 nights ago.
You don't say. Want a fag?
No, I don't, thanks.
Got some cash, you said, have you?
I'll give you money. Yes, cash. I've got a bit.
Haven't made a note of the numbers or anything, have you? Haven't been educated about it or anything?
Here we are. They're all odd ones. I haven't even looked at them.
Here. This is all on the up and up, I suppose. I mean, knowing what a liar you are, I wouldn't put it past you to be putting the wind up me. I mean, ones isn't much use these days, no. I don't suppose your brother even uses ones, not nowadays. Fivers or nothing. Expect he's got drawers full, eh? Small change once is hard to a bloke like your brother.
Keeps all his money in the bank. Never has any in the house, I promise you.
Found the address of you?
There's nothing there, I tell you. You must get out of here.
Dwyer, was it?
You can get down to the bus station very easily. You could be in Manchester tonight.
What do I want to be in Manchester for? What am I supposed to do in Manchester? A new life couldn't I have in Manchester?
Yes.
Got a suitcase?
Suitcase?
Under your bed?
Oh, yes.
Only pajamas.
I'll give you a pair.
Suspicious, Dwyer, was he?
Well...
I thought you didn't speak to him.
I was going to say... Mr. Laban said...
He sounded a toothbrush. He must have a toothbrush. He sounded...
Businesslike.
Would do.
That's why I thought he might come round, might call.
This isn't a trick of yours, is it? One of your lies?
No, no.
You won't tell him, will you, when I'm gone?
He won't even know you've been here.
Get the case. Come on. Come on. Thanks, Fred.
Good luck. Turn right. Right at the bottom, and you're at the terminal.
I'll say cheerio, then. Cheerio. Looks like it's too late. I'd better get back into the bedroom. Only watch it. So much as one word and I'll be on you.
Mr. Mallard, may I have a word, Inspector Dwyer?
Of course. Come in.
I hope I haven't come at a bad moment.
What can I do for you?
You seen anything of your friend, Jenks, at all?
Jenks? No, no, nothing. Why, has he been in some sort of trouble?
No, no, we've rather lost touch with Master Jenks, that's all. He must be keeping out of harm's way somewhere.
What about this robbery at the tobacconist? I suppose you were thinking...
Was I? Jenks? No, I don't think so. No one was cushed, for one thing. He makes habit of violence, Jenks does.
Does he?
As long as he keeps his nose clean, we can't touch him. Only I'd like to know where he is.
Goodbye, Mr. Mallard.
You're a clever little lying swine, aren't you? Dwight hadn't got a clue. Even when you're trying to tip him off, he hadn't got a clue. Can't trust you an inch, can I? You're a shocker, you are, you know, shocker. Nearly had me in Manchester, didn't you? Shocking. Clever, I must say. Tricky. Educated, I must say, the way you done it. Now, what about your brother's address, eh, your brother?
Has there been any post today?
Post?
Letters.
Expecting a letter, are you?
Yes.
Oh, yes, from Australia.
Yes, has it come? Where is it?
Steady, steady.
And where is it? I want it. What have you done with it?
I picked it up. You didn't want it trampled on, did you? Walked on, did you?
Now, please give it to me. Well, come on, give it to me.
Watch it. Don't start roughhousing with me, son. Don't start roughhousing. I wouldn't.
Oh, I want my letter.
Chess. You killed him. You killed him. Murderer, you're a murderer. You killed that man. That's what he did to kill. Shut up.
You killed him.
I tell you to shut up now. Shut up.
Why did I?
Why did you? I don't know. Why did you?
Because I thought.
Give the needle a shove.
I thought you needed someone. I thought they were someone, you needed them, and they failed you. I don't know.
Remember where they went to? The chessmen here?
Of course.
You are bumped straight. See what I mean, don't you? I could get £1,000 any time I wanted, just like that. Stop messing about with them things, will you? Always messing about. Hey, you're a full-time liar, really, aren't you? I mean, that's really what you are. Terrible thing, that is, to be a liar. Shocking, that is.
Please, may I have my letter?
After you've made the copy. I fancy it's strong tonight. Hello. You've got a new job for the sugar, haven't you? Haven't seen that before.
Oh, yes, I have. Help yourself.
Aren't you having none, sugar? Aren't you having none?
No. I won't, actually. Not tonight.
Good, oh. There we are, then. Nice and sweet. Way I like things.
You killed him, didn't you?
Don't start, Phil. Don't start.
You're not going to have my brother's address, not as long as you live.
Oh, we'll see about that. In due course, we'll see.
Not as long as you live.
So you had it all the time, did you? I mean, you was lying, saying you didn't have it. Telling an untruth, wasn't you? Not to be trusted, are you? Not trustworthy, I mean, are you? Not to be trusted. Come here.
Not as long as you live.
Come here.
No!
Inspector Dwyer.
What?
Dead. I see. Yes. Yes, I'll be right over. Stay there. I'll be right over. I was afraid of something like this. Well?
Body's over there, Inspector.
Well, well. So much for John Joseph Jenks. How did it happen, Mr. Mallard?
I couldn't stand it any longer. I realized what he'd done. I mean, the murder.
Yes. But how did Jenks come to take poison? How did you...
This particular poison has a molecular structure not dissimilar to sugar. He helped himself. I offered him the jar and he helped himself. It took effect quite rapidly. More or less painlessly. You see, I don't take sugar myself.
Very lucky. You lied, didn't you? About being within the night Armand was killed?
Yes. Yes, I did. I'm afraid I did. I thought there really was a Phil, you see. Wouldn't or daren't, couldn't. I,
I couldn't bear to think of anyone being hanged because someone wouldn't help him, so I helped him instead.
I see. I only wish you'd called me before you killed him, not after.
I knew that pub, that area. It could have been me so easily. I knew the area.
Well, we'd better be off.
Of course. Wonder if I might just post this on the way. It's to a friend of mine in Australia. Nothing about all this.
I'm afraid I shall have to have a look at it. Well, what's this mean? White resigns. Not a code, is it?
No, it's just about, you know, our game of chess. I don't suppose I shall be able to go on with it now.
No, I suppose not.
I suppose this will make you quite famous, won't it? Important. I mean, after all, I'm a murderer, aren't I?
Tonight's presentation of A Well-Dressed Man by Frederick Raphael. You heard John Hayter as Philip, Gabriel Bayman as Jenks, and Hugh Rouse as Basil. Sheila Holliday played the part of Vivian, and others in the cast were Donald Monat, Bill Brewer, John Whiteley, Stuart Brown, and Derek Royal. A Well-Dressed Man was adapted and produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Michael Silver. Next week, Lux Radio Theatre will celebrate its 1,000th performance, and for this very special occasion, takes pleasure in presenting four internationally known stars of stage and screen who are at present visiting South Africa: Richard Todd, Gene Kent, Vanessa Lee, and Peter Graves in Canaries Sometimes Sing, a delightful comedy by Frederick Lonsdale. Canaries Sometimes Sing has been produced for Lux Radio Theatre's 1,000th anniversary by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. So until next Monday night at 8:30, this is your Lux Radio Theatre host, Peter Tobin, bidding you all good night.
Enjoy brighter radio listening with Blaupunkt Radiogram's automatic pre-select tuning.